Well, good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful Sabbath day that we have. And I'm not going to use everybody term loosely today, because I am talking about everybody. Anybody, everybody, nobody, and somebody. So my split sermon fits very well in with Michael's today. Thank you for that. I think we were both inspired by the same spirit. You're going to hear some of the same points. I won't use patch, but I am going to tell you a short story here, and if you haven't already read it, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody, and nobody did what anybody could have done. Isn't that life? Isn't that just so people? It's just us, isn't it? Sometimes, well, I thought he was going to do it. She was going to. No. How about we do it? We do it. We are the action plan. You know, we're a small church in numbers here in Grafton, and for that matter, we're a small church worldwide. I mean, there's tiny little congregations. I know Lisa and I have found out, especially going to the GCE, that I mean, there's congregations on islands, there's two people, but that's a congregation. So we are so blessed here to have each other, aren't we? We're blessed to have a congregation. I know this isn't in numbers like in some of the mega churches and everything. We don't have that, but we do have each other, and God put each and every one of us here for a reason. And we've been called to do a job and not just to sit and watch a job get done by others. You know, this is not a spectator sport. I mean, I know a lot of you like sports and everything. It's great to buy a ticket to a, sometimes it's great to buy a ticket to a Browns game. But this isn't a spectator sport. We are the team. This is the team. We're it. You know, we are the first round draft picks. Every one of you are the first round draft pick. Did you ever think of that? You are. You know, it takes time and it takes work to be a good team. You know, and we're called to be that first fruits, the first round by Jesus Christ. We're called to be that in that first resurrection that he has for each and every one of us on his return. You don't have to turn here. 1 Corinthians 12. We're told that we are handpicked by the Father. We're perfectly placed to do a function. And in John 6:44, and don't turn there either, we'll save a little time, it says no one can come to Jesus except they are called by the Father. The Father hand chose you. He's the one who drew you in that first round draft. You know, we have a vision for the future, and we're going to be a bigger impact than we are today. Now, sometimes we think, okay, we're this small congregation, how can we be impactful? And I think Mr. Thomas excellently put it today, all those little things that we're doing in the community, we're being a light in the community. And you know, when we come together, we're lights to each other. When I see us work together on projects, people come in here, and everyone's doing what their talent lends them to do. And they're working together as a team. I love to see that. I love that team spirit. Now, you're a part of that plan. You are the everybody. And for the here and now, we need to focus on continuing to do our work with each other, the work that we've been given. And no one's left out of the game to sit on the bench unless they choose to sit on that bench. None of us have to do that. You know, God is equipping us now through his word and through his church if we show up here. If we show up to listen and we're a part of the team. I don't know any Cleveland Brown that Zooms every week for the game. And I'm sorry, I know some people have health issues, and I understand that. But if you Zoom because you choose not to be here, you're not on the playing field. You've chosen to sit on the bench. You know, leaders are good leaders because they lead through their example and their service. And we've heard a lot about service, haven't we? I know that Mr. Thomas always encourages us on that servant leadership, but we need to have that example to be that good leader that God wants us to be, and it's through our actions. It's through those actions. You know, God created us for service. We are created for service. That's why he created each and every one of us. When we made this choice to serve God, it's fulfilling the service that should bring us a joy if it's done humbly and if it's done in love. You know, there's a stark realization of who we are serving. So let's turn to the first scripture here I'm asking you to turn to. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You're not doing it to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We're not doing this to be men pleasers. We're doing it to please God. We owe him so much. We owe our Savior so very much. We couldn't give him enough. You know, we have a wholehearted service towards God. We don't do it for the reward, but Christ does reward us anyways. He rewards us with an awesome inheritance someday. How inspiring is that? We have the inheritance. We will rule the earth, not like the rulers today. We'll be loving. We'll rule like a family. We'll be loving our family. We'll help them along. We'll be there for them. You know, we're to focus on serving God and others, but in our service, everything we do is ultimately for God. Jesus served others, but to the glory of the Father, didn't he? He did it for the glory of the Father. He didn't do it for his own glory, although he does deserve our glory. You see, if we love God first, then the true love that we have will pour out to others. But God must come first. We don't love people first. We must love our Father first. And that's where we can truly have that agape and unconditional love for other people. You know, people will come after, and we can have that true agape and unconditional love and that service for others, but we need to serve our Father and Jesus Christ first. You know, in my story of everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody, they all contain the word body. And that's what we are. We are a body. You know, God is the master designer, and he placed each of us to have a function in the body. You know, if you pull out an organ in your body, first of all, it's going to hurt. But second, it's not going to function very well, is it? It's not going to function well. You're going to have some problems, and there are vital organs. And I will have to say, I think we need to look at each other as a vital organ, because that's how God looks at us. We want to look through the eyes of God. But he is that master designer, and he put us in the body. 1 Corinthians 12:27, that's where it talks about the body of Christ. And he added you to perform a specific and vital function, to keep the body running healthily. I know Len Martin had mentioned in one of his sermons recently, he said that he had a gallbladder attack and he drank some pickle juice and it got rid of the pain that he was in. And it was some temporary pain that he was in. He actually had to go get his gallbladder removed. But it goes to show, I mean, we need to be taking care of the body. We don't want to have to go through something where we have to go through that hard time in order to heal, for that body to heal. Why do we want to go down that route? We need to try to keep our body as healthy as we can. And I mean, I'm talking spiritually here and physically, of course. We want to do both. But the body belongs to Jesus Christ, and we're all to take special care to make it healthy, vibrant, and not to defile it. Not to defile it. By the way, in all those words, somebody, anybody, nobody, I didn't see anonymous in there, just to let you know. You know, many of us who have been here a while need to grow past just getting the body running. So we get up every day, we have our cup of coffee, and kind of get that caffeine rolling, but is that going to get you through the day? We need to eat the right foods. We need to exercise, take those vitamins and everything. So we need to do that as well. We need to do that spiritually. We need to look at ways to strengthen to make the body healthier and more resilient. and not to come in here each week to defile it. We can do that by assessing what we are and are not putting into the body each week. You know, perhaps some people aren't putting anything in. So maybe we're making the body sick, we're starving it, we're making it bulimic or anorexic. That's what happens when you don't put anything into the body of Christ. You're making it sick. He had a place for you, and he has a function, and you need to fulfill that function. We all do. But if we're really being astute Christians, we'll be watching what we put into the body, just like we want to care for our physical bodies. We'll look to strengthen and to nourish it, and to make it healthy and to avoid injury and illness. Jesus Christ expects our participation when we accepted the invitation that he gave to us at baptism. If we're just hanging out on the periphery, and we aren't on the field playing the game, what difference are you making to the body? What are you providing Jesus Christ and God the Father? You're missing out on something very dear. Let's ask ourselves, what am I bringing through the door at services this week? What will you bring? What are you bringing this week? What is it that I'm taking to my church family? Do we bring unity, peace, and joy? Are we bringing the drudgery of the world, our wrong ideas, our rotten, stinking attitudes, along with some of the mentality that goes along with the world? But what are you going to contribute today? You know, it could be encouragement if you choose. It could be love for each other. It could be time, because it's not always about money. We all have different things to offer, and I'm not saying we can do anything to help someone and encourage them. It could be a number of different things. You know, this is God's house that we walked into today, and we want it to be pure, we want it to be healthy, and we want it to be strong. We've been so blessed to be here in the Grafton congregation. You know, a positive and healthy attitude is contagious, and that's one of the contagions you can bring in here. You can bring a positive and healthy attitude. You can spread that to others. And again, it's your decision. You know, we don't want to be known as Mr. or Mrs. Negativity. That's not good. You want to be known as a positive person, don't you? I think all of us want to be known as a positive person. So put a smile on your face. Smile at other people. Have that positive attitude. Give them a word of encouragement. You know, that's displaying and glorifying how you're letting Christ work inside you. And if you don't, and you walk out with a negative attitude, or you blow through the doors at the amen and don't care to talk about anybody, that's showing perhaps your lack of letting Christ work in you. Could be shutting the door on Jesus Christ. So next, let's turn to Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish. Everything else, Paul considered worthless trash. Everything. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, for I am already perfected, but I press on. Brethren, we have to press on. We need to press on every day, each and every day. But I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, So we need to leave the past outside the door. We need to leave that past week outside that door. And reaching forward, we need to be forward-looking to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We have an upward call. It's nothing earthly. It's nothing we can truly comprehend in this life fully. We do what we do to press on and further the goal for our Lord and Jesus Christ and God our Father. A healthy body is a body that's in sync. We need to be in sync, brethren. We need to be in sync. We need that unity. We need to be in sync with Jesus Christ first. You know, he's the head of the body, and the rest of us have all other functions. He's the brains of this outfit, not us. He's the brains. And here, he shares his thoughts with us. We know what's in his head. He gives us what we need here. Now, that doesn't mean that we come to the door and we check our brains at the door. All right? He gave us brains to use. It just means that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. He's the one who is the beginning and the end, has the big picture, filled with wisdom and experience, all loving and complete knowledge. And I'll go out on a limb here and say, he knows best. I guess I'm not going out on a limb. He does know best, okay? Be all things to all people. We need to be all things to all people. There are many different cultures and subcultures in the world and in our country and even in God's church. We have subcultures within our church. I'll explain that in a second. You know, we are an international church. We need to be aware that when we travel and we go overseas, especially for the feast and things. I know a lot of you are going to Greece this year. It's an excellent opportunity. Maybe you can get together and learn some words to connect, as Michael was saying. So we connect. Learn to say hello, please, and thank you. Learn just some of the things just so you can begin that connection that we need with our brethren. Some of us travel for work, and I know in a lot of jobs you have to take some courses before you go overseas. They give you, I know, can't say my company, but I know where I work that they do that so that we know the cultures as we go over there. There's some training that we have when we go to different countries. I'm sure many other companies do that as well. You know, we're experiencing a rapid and changing culture that's especially touching our youth. And anybody here that's my age, or maybe I'll even go 20 years younger, they're not experiencing what our youth is experiencing today. This is changing so fast, and there's so many things, and it's coming from their leaders, all right, in school, their teachers. It's coming from our government. It's coming from all kinds of things, and we need to understand what the younger generations are up against. You know, I see the barrage and the push in corporate America to try to change my morality. Like, what are corporations doing trying to change our morality? Well, Satan's in their heads too, okay? He's going to get in every way he can, in schools and companies, in every way he can, to embrace these changes that he's trying to push through our governments and through our educational systems. You know, the pressure is on for the generations behind us, and it's only going to get worse. And we need to support them and set a good example for them and encourage them and be there for them. We'll need to be able to support their families. They have to go out and get jobs someday, those who aren't working yet, and even those younger that are out there now. I know I pray for them all the time that they don't have to experience some of the pressure that I've had to. And I'm getting ready to retire. I just say, nope, not going there. This point, I can do that. They don't have that luxury. All right, they're going to be up against some things in the future. We need to pray for them. As things get pushed further and further, we need to be there for them and to pray for them and help them, encourage them. prepare them in any way that we can. Some of our younger folks may end up going to business for themselves. I know some are taking on changes and going to family businesses. But we'll need to be able to support them as these things are pushed even further. Their challenges and careers may take a much different path than any of us have ever experienced. But God will see us through. And as we strengthen in our church and together, we can help them as well. You know, Paul dealt with multiple cultures among the Gentile churches, and he related to them. And all of us still need to be able to relate to people. We can't be in a bubble. We can't say, well, I'm just going to hide from all this stuff, because that's not going to work either. We need to be able to go out there and talk to people and deal with them. You know, the Greeks had a culture that had many, 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 many different gods, and small g. But, you know, he tagged on to the unknown God. I'm sure that it was inspired in him. But let's just turn to 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 20, through 23. Let's see a little bit of what he says in the letter to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Are we to be everybody? Well, the answer is yes and no. We never compromise God's law. We never compromise God's law. But we need to make every effort to relate with others. And Paul learned well to do so. You know, we sometimes don't do a good job of that being Americans. You know, we have a tendency to look at the world through our myopic American experience. But to all things, to all people is what we need to be. We need to be patient. We need to be understanding, and that means learning of others. And to pray for God's wisdom to be a part, to do a good work with others that we come in contact with. That's part of our job. That's part of our calling. You know, locally, we can't have a myopic view. Most of us as Americans, some may have other citizenships even within our congregation. Not everybody here just has an American citizenship. So we have subcultures even with our own local congregation. They experience a totally different background than we did. You know, God is opening salvation to everybody someday. Paul's words and example are there for us today, especially as the world has opened up in our day and age. You know, God knew that it would open up, so he's preparing us through these words. It goes beyond an ancient thing, okay, that Paul was talking about, ancient times. This is for us today. God knew the world would open up and we would need to have these experiences. Next, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, this is not talking about a physical promise. It's talking about a spiritual promise. You know, you've been booked to an all-inclusive right here in Cleveland, Ohio. So enjoy it. You're here. There will be snacks out on the veranda deck after services today. But you know, we are. We have to be all-inclusive. We need to be. We need to understand. Everyone's a little different. My wife would tell you I'm very different. But, you know, some people assume that God loved Israel above all other nations. I think we're making an assumption there. God definitely loved Israel. They were special. They were the first that he was working with. But he showed us through Israel that mankind needed Jesus Christ as a Savior. And that's how everyone could come through him. He used them for that. And God can't love anybody any different. He can't love you any more or any less. And that's every person because he loves perfectly. So how could he love Israel and favor them? They were not his favorite, but he loves them dearly. He's going to bring them around someday again, but they have to be repentant as a physical nation. You know, Acts 10, 25 through 37. Let's start in verse 28. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for the Jewish man to keep company with or go to one another, to another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Then in Romans chapter 9, or chapter 2, verse 9, you don't have to turn there, "There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." So he doesn't say just to the Jew. And then he says, "For God does not show favoritism." The Bible does not lie. You know, God does not play favorites. He promises, his promises are for everybody someday. And not just the elite few, like what's happening in the world today. The elite will end up on top in the end times. There will be an elite few that will absolutely be wealthy and enjoying things, even probably during the tribulation. But God doesn't play those favorites. That'll never happen after Christ returns. I think I'm not going to keep everyone here today. I will do a part two on this. I have much more to say on this topic, but I do want to end here with the other half of my story. I'll go ahead and read it. Not sure they can get that up here. "There was an important job to be done, and everybody made sure that somebody did it. Anybody could have done it, and nobody was going to leave it up to just anybody. Somebody took on the job because he didn't want to leave it up to just anybody. Everybody knew that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody had already done it. It ended up that everybody helped somebody, and somebody helped anybody, and that's how nobody was left out."